So now on the Innovation Show, we welcome Paul Mulvaney, Executive Director of Innovation for ESB. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks for joining us. And it's great to have you here, because I was thinking of the interview, and I was thinking of my perception of ESB, and it's probably most people's perception is it's the energy that powers our homes or our businesses, and that's our perception and that's it. But there's a whole different world there, and the world is going back a long time.
I suppose we all started at the 1927 diverting the Shannon and setting up Ardna Crusha, and as the first hydro power station, a renewal of the power station as it was at the time, kind of ahead of our times, but again very innovative at that stage. And we've worked right across the country in every kind of town and village in terms of electrification and building power stations, etc. But things, I suppose, are changing quite a bit now in the energy world, and I suppose we have to change then to kind of keep with the time. So we've competition in terms of generation and supply, and we still own and operate the networks part of the business, but we do lots of different things as well. We're moving into adjacent industries like telecoms and broadband and electric vehicles, electrification of heat. We also have an international business. We have a venture capital business. So we have lots of different things going on, really trying, I suppose, to keep up with the changes in the industry and keep ourselves positioned at the top of that.
Yeah, so you mentioned Ardna Crusha and that, but like the innovation has always been there. And I suppose when Irish people think of ourselves, we don't think of ourselves as being pretty innovative, but you have been. And you mentioned the different parts of the business, and they fall under your remit. Can we talk about each one of those and what they are?
Yeah, sure. But just the way ESB is organised, I suppose we have a generation and wholesale market business, power stations, and we operate in Ireland and the UK. We have operated in other countries over the years. We're kind of out of generation other than in Ireland and UK and Northern Ireland. We have a supply business now, which is Electric Ireland, branded Electric Ireland at this stage. And we have the networks business. And then about 4 years ago, the chief executive set up the Innovation Directorate, which area I'm working in. And within Innovation, we have three different businesses. So we have ESB International, our engineering consultancy business, which has been around for 40 years. We have thing called Novus Modus, which is a venture capital fund where we invest in and learn about new clean tech companies. And then we have Smart Energy Technologies, which is really looking at renewables, looking at broadband, looking at electrification of heat and transport, collaboration with other parties. Because in the past, kind of, we were the industry in ESB. There's a lot of competition now, but there are a lot of other players and there are a lot of other people kind of vying for the customer. So we're collaborating quite a bit now with other parties as well. So it's been it's quite a change in the industry, and it's exciting times. So we have to do things differently, and we have a lot of different initiatives then trying to learn about the industry and really put the customer at the centre. We're using a lot of kind of new development techniques that are customer-centric, like agile development and design thinking and things like that.
Yeah, so it's really become part of it, because it's so reflective of many industries. I mean, we see it with banking now, and so many different competitors, and people are taking a strand of banking and excelling at that and doing it better than anyone else. So one of the best ways to do is partner with companies like that. So you've done that, and you have a unit then in Dogpatch Labs.
Yes, we've set up kind of an innovation hub or an accelerator in the CHQ, the Custom House Key Building, along the Liffey. So that's kind of an ecosystem where a lot of other businesses are developing new things, particularly digital things. So there are some banks down there, there are some software companies down there. So we have a number of projects underway. So the whole idea really was to take people out of the core business and put them in a different environment where they're meeting different people, they're learning different techniques, and you know, they're developing things in a different way. For example, because we have to be so safe and secure as ESB, we have 2.2 million customers' meters to read. We have to get that right all the time, every time. So you need big mainframe systems, whereas a lot of kind of competition and new developments is very much digital and agile. So it's all software as a service, it's cloud-hosted systems. So we have contracted new coders and developers who are working with ESB people and developing a number of new kind of customer propositions. So we have a couple of kind of exciting things going on down there.
Yeah, it's great to have a fresh pair of eyes as well. I mean, you've these developers coming in who know nothing about the legacy business, which is a great thing because they're looking at it from today's perspective and there's no legacy thinking there.
Yeah, it's very different. And, you know, that diversity is really important to us. And, you know, we really need to interact with our customers and with other people. We were traditionally engineers, which is great for doing lots of things. But, you know, we find now, you know, you need to interact with marketeers, with IT people, with graphic designers, you know, with all of these different inputs, and you get a better product in the end. And you really need to interact with your customer. You know, the whole point is that there's no point in developing something that the customer doesn't want. So you have to get the customer involved from a really early stage in the project. So we spend a lot of time kind of dealing with customers and focus groups and seeing if they like something or not, if they'd like more of this or less of that. So that's the whole basis of agile development, where you get to develop the minimum viable proposition and put it in front of the customers and see if they like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't spend a huge amount of time perfecting it. Give them the idea, take their inputs, tweak it, and keep going around that cycle as often as you can and as quickly as you can. And then you come out with something that people have actually helped you design and that they actually want.
Yeah, and you get their buy-in then as well, because they feel part of it. They feel kind of a pride or an investment in that.
Absolutely,
and yeah. It gets them more on board. But it's a step change away from the way it used to be, where I build a product, I put it out there, and that's it. The product's built, and yeah. you're now trying to educate the legacy business as well to go, the fact it's live means it's alive. And it needs to be treated that way every single day. We need to monitor it. Is it working? Is it not? Etc.
Yeah, it is different. Actually, one of the things we're doing soon is we're running a hackathon, which is first for us because it's called the Big Energy Hack. So that's on the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of October. And we're looking to get somewhere around 100, just more than 100 people from all different backgrounds who are interested in energy and interested in helping us solve different challenges that we have. So we have three challenges that we're putting out there. One of them is in I suppose the customer in the domestic space. It's around energy efficiency in the home and a better interaction with the customer. The second one is around electric cars and electric transport, and again how to improve the customer experience around electric cars, help them plan their journeys, have a look at the issue of queuing at charge points, various different things. So we'll supply data to the people who are at the hack, and they can use that data then to try and develop new propositions. And the third one is on the network side. It's around, like, we have actually a really smart network. IBM kind of ranked us as third smartest network in the world because we've invested $6 billion over the last decade in the network. So it's a very smart network. But still, you can always improve. So you have issues like storms, you have issues like bird strikes, and you know, various different things that, you know, pose problems. So we'll give the people all of the outage data over the last few years, and again, see how they can kind of use that to help improve reliability. And there's nice prizes too. So the first prize is €5,000, second prize is €3,000, and third prize €2,000. So a number of people have on these hackathons before, so we're doing it in conjunction with DCU Alpha and Dogpatch Labs, where we have our innovation hub based. And yeah, people gather on the Friday evening and they're presented with the challenges, and they form teams themselves then and work on it, say, all day Saturday and Sunday morning, and then present back kind of a Dragon's Den type thing on Sunday afternoon, 4-minute pitch, and then the winners are chosen, prizes given. And then, you know, depending on what the ideas are and whether they're suitable for further development, well, we may go further with those winners at the time. We'll play that by ear and see what comes out of it.
It's a great way as well if you're a startup or you're putting idea to introduce it to you, because if you're collaborating and partnering with a lot of these startups, great way to introduce themselves to you. So they can find out that information on the SBE
site. It's on the SBE website, or we've... a big hack site or a big energy hack site.
Brilliant.
As well. It'll be easy to just Google it. It'll be easy to find that site's up and running. Yeah.
So that's Ireland. So that's only part of your remit that I learned this morning. So, but you've the whole international remit as well. And you mentioned, for example, that ESB has a presence in Bahrain for the last 40 years.
Yeah, so ESBI, ESB International, is it's 40 years last year in business, but we've actually been in Bahrain for the last 40 years continuously, which is fantastic. Actually, just we must be doing something well to mind our clients out there. So we work for the Saudi Electric Company out there and have designed and built most of the electrical system in Manaman and around Bahrain. And so we've about 40 people in an office out there. And actually, last year we just won a project with a company called Alba, who are the biggest aluminium smelters in the world. And they have a huge amount of, they have a huge requirement for electricity. So they have their own power stations on site. They have more than half of the installed capacity that we have in Ireland on the one site in Bahrain in their factory. And so we're doing some engineering work for them there now as they decommission some of their older power stations and build new ones. So that's exciting. But over the years, we've worked in 120 different countries around the world, and we're probably active in maybe 15 or 16 at the moment.
Yeah, because there's, this is what I mean. Like, I suppose I've been a bit disingenuous to ESB, because you think of it's just a domestic business, and there's this huge company that does all this stuff. And smart cars, I mean, smart cars has been a huge win for the ESB, and you, like, you're learning on the job. Like anybody in the world, these are all new things dropped on you. I was thinking, actually, when you mentioned about the home and minding the meters for people, that in a way, while that's a legacy thing, you're lucky, because if you compare that to a business like media, like the printing press, that's actually defunct now. It's no longer necessary. Yes, you'll have like vinyl, you'll have a few people who want a newspaper, but at least you have a distribution point across most homes in the country, and that's a fantastic benefit.
Yeah, and that may well change in the future as well, in terms of the nature of the meter. The meters that we have in at the moment are mechanical meters. A lot of them are quite old, might be 20, 30, 40 years old. The future is moving towards digital meters, and meters that they monitor the time that you're using the electricity as well. So they will allow for time of use tariffs. So you'll be able to pay a different amount of electricity depending on when you use it. And that is going to drive huge changes in the industry, because there will be a big focus on trying to control people's bills and trying to get them to shift their demand characteristic to give themselves a lower bill, for sure, but also to help run the whole system. So, for example, if a big power station were to trip, shut down, we have to spin up all the other power stations to take up demand, because you have to match supply and demand exactly all the time. So you need power stations on standby and ready to go, have some headroom to increase their generation. Whereas if you now have a presence beyond the meter on the demand side, if you can get people to reduce their demand at a time like that, you don't need to increase as much generation. So, for example, in France, what they do in local authority housing is they control all the immersion heaters. So if you were to aggregate all of the immersion heaters in the country and decide that there's some issue on the system where supply isn't matching demand, if you can just switch off every immersion heater for 2, 3, 4 minutes, nobody will even notice that their immersion heater's gone off, but it's the equivalent of starting up a power station. So,
wow.
So it saves you having to build a new station, maybe, and it also allows a lot more flexibility. So that kind of demand-side management and aggregation of demand and even selling services back to the grid is becoming bigger and bigger, both here and in the UK. And the two markets have merged, actually. So our home market is Ireland and the UK. So we've a presence in the UK in terms of generation. We've just completed a big new gas-fired power station in Manchester and Carrington, just near where Man United training ground is. And we're building a waste wood generating plant in Tilbury in London, where we're using like old pallets and old furniture. So there's enough waste wood in London to fire an 40 megawatt power station.
Wow.
So it's just more renewables. Big move towards renewables, and that's a huge part of where we're going as a company as well.
That's phenomenal about the management. That, you know, just the thought of that, like, to an individual, it's only a slight, if even a disruption, but that all combined, it reminds me of actually how Amazon Web Services or something starts, like, you pay to the cloud for hosting services and it adapts to your usage.
That's right, yeah.
But also that overlapped with the gym. So the gym for an off-peak membership is a lot cheaper.
There are lots of parallels between different industries now, and you know, lots of ideas from one being brought into the other. And it's all about the user experience. That's really, really key now. So our users, if you like, who were, we would always have regarded as consumers in the past, we actually regard them as prosumers now, because they're much more proactive, they're much more interactive, but also some of them produce their own electricity. So they might have, you know, a small wind turbine, they might have solar panels, they might have battery storage, and that battery could feed energy back to the grid. So our relationship with the prosumer is beginning to change and will change, and that'll really drive big changes in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we interact much more now. Like in the past, the interaction between the utility and the customer was you read their meter a few times a year and you send them 6 bills a year. That, you know, pretty much that was your interaction, unless they lost power in a storm or whatever. But now customers, they actually want real-time information. They want to know, where's the energy coming from? How clean is it? How green is it? How much does it cost this hour rather than last hour or next hour? And they also want to know, you know, which devices in the home are using most power, how can they best control their demand, and, you know, the whole move to smart devices as well. So there's a kind of a blurring then of, so you have energy flow two ways now rather than one way, and then you have a blurring of energy and information. So you see that, like, new smart device, you know, the fridge that knows when it's out of milk and can reorder, you know, all of these things are becoming more and more prevalent, and that's, and they're being developed by, you know, white goods companies and the likes of Google and IBM and Intel. So all these industries are really merging now, so we have to have a much broader outlook.
And so then that's kind of all the pieces of the company, and then there's the challenge, the people challenge. And how have you found bringing people who, you know, have worked for the company as it was, bringing them on the journey? Because that's the difficult piece, I suppose, because you want to respect where the company came from, but there's also this massive disruption, massive change happening, and you have to bring them with you.
Yeah, and it's an interesting challenge. And some parts of the business can't change as quickly, for example. You know, we still have to have a physical connection into everybody's house through a meter. So a lot of that physical stuff has to still be the same. But we do want everybody being more innovative about how they do their day job. So we have a number of different initiatives. Like, we ran a Dragon's Den, for example, in our IT section. That was about 2 years ago. It was good fun, but we had great ideas developed, and the winners all had to be implementable within 6 weeks. So a lot of ideas came out, and they were all implemented within 6 weeks. And we last year we had our first staff innovation awards. So this was right across the company. We had 500 different entries, and
that's
these were
fantastic.
All ideas that were actually working. Now, they weren't an idea that somebody had that they might do in the future. These were actual innovations that.
That's a phenomenal amount.
It was fantastic. What's even better is we ran it again this year, and I expected the numbers to be down a lot, because last year being the first year, people were submitting things that they had done over the last number of years. We got another 500 this year.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
Because they were sitting on some ideas, but these were all fresh.
But these are new things that people have done, and, you know, and they can be from very small to very big. So the idea that one, the overall last year, we actually had 10 different categories, you know, safety, collaboration, customer, lots of different things. And the overall winner last year was some engineers in ESBI, a group of young engineers, who developed a way of repairing power cables, undersea cables, under the sea. And so we worked on the Moyle interconnector up north, between North and Scotland. And the interconnector had become damaged, hit by an anchor of a boat or whatever, a ship. And the traditional, your first problem is trying to find where the fault is in maybe 20 kilometres of cable.
It's equivalent of looking for the stud in the wall with the wall finder.
That's it. So the first thing was to find it. So the guys developed a new technique for doing it. We actually brought in an American company who are expert in this field, and they couldn't find the point of the fault, and the guys developed a new methodology using fibers as well and electrical signals, and they got it down to within about 2 inches under the sea. They were starting to find it. So then,
and that came from within the company.
That came from within the company. There were about five different kind of world firsts in this one project. And the second thing is, when you actually find the cable, the traditional way of repairing it is you bring out a huge ship and you lift the cable up off the seabed and you repair it on the surface. What the guys did is they developed a habitat, as they called it, that went down to the seabed. It was like a baby's incubator, nearly clamped around the cable. They pumped nitrogen gas in, displaced the water, and then we trained divers to actually repair the cable in this habitat at the bottom of the sea. And so we did the job for about one-tenth of what it would normally cost. And actually, as it happens, we're repairing the cable that was damaged out to the Aran Islands there a number of weeks ago. I'm using the same technique there now for that. And that's something then that we intend to sell through ESB International around the world. So we're trying to... We've done that a lot over the years, where we would develop solutions to engineering problems here and then sell that abroad. Or maybe a contract that we get abroad might throw up something that we can actually bring back here. For example, we're working on a solar collector project in Saudi Arabia at the moment, in Wad al-Shamal in Saudi Arabia, which is a first for us in that type of technology. But what we learn from that, hopefully we'll be able to sell elsewhere.
That's brilliant, because the pride that must give you as an employee, because you don't feel I'm just going in to clock in and clock out. You're going in to make things like that happen. And, you know, when I asked you about how do you make that innovation happen across the country, that's exactly, or across the company, that's exactly the effect you want. Because you see so many, and it's so great to have you on the show, because you're really doing it. While there's just a lot of fake innovation going on, or, you know, people who have titles of innovation but aren't allowed to make any innovation changes. And it's great to see ESB making those changes, both within the company and with outside and abroad, etc. It's great to see.
Yeah, look, I mean, it comes from the top. I mean, the chief executive set up an innovation directorate, which was a really good signal to the whole company that legitimizes innovation. We actually want people to be innovative. And as I say, we have been for a long time, but that kind of support from the top is really, really important. And you know, all the different parts of the business, networks, generation, Electric Ireland, we run a lot of kind of cross-functional groups and teams and work groups to try and share the learning and share the, you know, the problems, the challenges and the learning. So we're trying to involve the whole company in this, you know, as much as we can. And it's, it's great. And it's a great place to work. People like working here. We've just taken in about 90 graduates there recently as well.
But I was going to ask you one thing, Paul, about the smart city piece. So I was thinking actually about the smart cars or the electric cars, and how does, like, it's a real one of those, the Wayne Gretzky quote of skate to where the puck's going, not where it is right now. And if we're moving to a world of smart cities, how advanced are we on the data for a smart city? So traffic flows, etc. Where the ideal place to put the ESB charge points, etc. Where are we in that?
Yeah, so again, Ireland is a really good testbed, and it's been a great testbed for electric cars. And it's also IBM now are very active in the smart city space, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Dublin, and DCU and others are doing a lot of work in that space, and we're involved in a lot of those different things. As you mentioned, data is huge. Like, big data is huge. And we've actually just we've completed four innovation roadmaps, as we call them, in ESB. And one of the first ones is around the prosumer, as we mentioned earlier on. The second one is around green distributed generation and storage, because in the past, power generation stations were cost hundreds of millions, big entities that last for 20, 30 years, huge investment, all centralised. Now, you know, there's a lot of distributed generation, distributed storage. So you've 1, 2, 3 megawatt wind turbines. You've, in the UK, these fields of solar, and we've done some work with solar. We actually formed a joint venture with Kingspan at the moment for putting solar on industrial and commercial roofs. So again, it's the collaboration piece. So that was the second roadmap, was around the green distributed generation and storage. The third one is around smart grids. And as I said, we have a smart grid, but it's how to really connect, you know, that's the green generation with the prosumer in the home. But the fourth roadmap is big data, which, as you mentioned, the data is huge. So how do you connect all of those things and use that data? And then, you know, as a business, how do you monetize that? Can you actually make money out of it, as well as improving the user experience? So we started to recruit data analysts, actually, which are a really hot property now. Very hard to get these guys. And we're developing use cases now. So, but the idea would be that you'd ultimately use different sources of data and connect them all together. So, for example, take the electric car. It would be ideal if you could check the weather forecast, realize that there's going to actually be a surplus of wind energy, green energy available on Saturday night or whatever. And you can connect with the user who has an e-car. He can have his diary on his phone and says, okay, well, you know, the diary says I have a meeting in Waterford tomorrow morning, so you know you need to charge the car. By the way, there's actually surplus green energy available. We can offer you free charging tonight with green energy. It's that kind of linking all these different data sets that are already there and building a new and better proposition. So there's a lot of stuff to be done in that area. Another thing we're looking at the moment in our telecoms business, so we have ESB Telecoms is another business in the innovation area where we have we wrap fiber around the transmission lines and we have dishes on the towers. But we have different, in different areas we would have equipment for lighting up the fibre, and we're looking at leveraging that. So that's dispersed around the country in substations, and we're looking now at, we're actually testing a distributed data centre, so where we use all of these different this equipment that's separated physically by quite a distance, but setting up a mesh of fibre to connect all of those to give you great resilience in terms of a data centre that'll be actually distributed around the country. So we're trying to leverage those kind of assets that we have there already and build new products. So it's exciting. I suppose it's not necessarily people might kind of associate ESB with, but we've been in that telecoms business quite a number of years now. And actually in an adjacent area, we've formed a JV with Vodafone, it's called Syro, and we're rolling out broadband across initially 50 towns right around the country. That's ongoing at the moment as well.
Yeah, so much on, because like from your own role perspective, it must be really exciting because you've so many plates on sticks, but they're all exciting ones, you know.
Yeah, keep them all spinning.
Yeah. Well, Paul Mulvaney, Executive Director of Innovation, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ace.